Welcome back. Chuck Delaney started about, four-plus decades ago. Let's have a game theory set. People will come to see dogs and shooters, and eventually he added mini donuts. And then Ron Shera came out and became the announcer. He may have even started with him. But that's going on this weekend and next weekend. It's a great way. And today I was thinking about it all day because it felt like, you know, mid-September, even early October, felt like the opening day of duck hunting. Chuck joins us now on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Today it really felt like it. Did it feel like it out there? Do people get a little bit more excited for the outdoors, Chuck, when you have a day like this?
Well, we didn't open until noon, and everything was quiet. We didn't want to let them in while we had all the lightning and the rain, and everything went great. We had a ton of people, lots of dogs, a lot of fun. All of our seminars and everything were rescheduled, but everything went great.
For people that
and we had a lot of people.
A lot of people came by?
Oh, yeah. They were lined up and waiting. We reduced the price because of the delay, and everybody appreciated that.
Explain for somebody that hasn't been there the layout of it and what you see. We always talk about dogs, we talk about game fair, but it's bigger than that. Explain what it's like when you walk through the gates of game fair for somebody that's never been there.
Well, our fair is strictly for the out-of-door people. We invite everybody to bring their dogs, have an enjoyable afternoon with all of our dog events, and we have probably about seven of them, and just enjoy the great outdoors. We have a wonderful place. We've got 280 some exhibitors of all outdoor products, and this is a place for outdoor people.
Dog work is a key, though, for people that are interested in buying a hunting dog, and they go out there. What do you invite? What's the process like? What should they look for? What should that process be about if they want to come away with something special for themselves?
Well, all of our dog customers that are here that have dogs for sale, they're all vet checked. They're all guaranteed. They have to be able to return or purchase the dogs of their choice. And we have 11 dog clubs here. We have three or four dog breeders here. And it's just a choice. They're all outdoor dogs. They're all hunting dogs. They're not poodles. So those are the things that are important to our show.
Bloodlines or trainer? Which one's the most important when you go find a dog?
Bloodlines? Yes. You know, the look, the background. We have a lot of British bred type Labradors here, and we also have German Shorthairs and Vizslas and all different kinds of breeds. It's just up to what the person is looking for.
Can a great trainer take a dog that doesn't have a great nose and make him a great hunter?
No.
Just that simple, huh?
Yep. If they don't have it, they don't have it. It's like playing golf like I am. I don't have it.
Yeah, you try. It's not that you don't understand.
Yeah,
it's not that you don't want to.
But it's like it's the same as a dog. They try, but they don't have it.
When you started this, though, what was your vision? What did you think it would become? What it is today, or has it far surpassed your dreams as an entrepreneur?
Well, I've always been an outdoors person. My wife, who everybody knows in the world, who is a great outdoor lady, which is hard to talk about.
Yeah,
and
she passed last September for people not familiar, and she was such a big part of game fair.
Yeah, you know, it's the continuation of the outdoors. We have everything going for everybody that's involved in the outdoors. There's no tire kickers here. The people came today, lots of dogs, lots of people, a great atmosphere. We have the best home that anybody could ever have, and the people enjoy it, and we enjoy the people.
I would imagine that Laura would want you to continue on with this, because she it was a partnership with you two, and that's why everybody knew you so well and thought so much of her and you. I would imagine that she would want Chuck just to keep doing what you're doing, huh?
Well, we were together for 62 years.
Oh.
And I'm in my 89th year, and I'll go as far as it'll go. And I'm sure my daughter or my friend or whoever will try to continue this business. And it's not our main business, but it's the out-of-doors that we appreciate and all of our customers appreciate. And I don't think anybody in the United States has what we have and the enjoyment that the public has.
Yeah, for sure. Ron Shira came on board with you when? Was he right away?
He's been with me for 41 years.
41 years.
He was 20 when he started. I'm teasing.
No, he was 50.
Oh, no. No.
Somewhere in between, right?
Yeah, exactly. No, a great guy, a great outdoor writer, a great TV guy. His daughter's working for us, who's a wonderful lady. And our whole concept is the out-of-doors and the conservation and the dog training, the companionship that the dogs give to the people. Those are the most important things in my life. And in, I hope, in everybody's life that is listening today.
One of the things about dog ownership, though, is you better be ready to give them some time, right? Don't buy a dog if you can't give them the necessary time.
They're your partner for life.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're so special for me now, because I'm alone, and I have two, the companionship that they create for everybody who is anybody is the best thing that you can have after your children have grown up.
Mm.
They're a wonderful, dedicated companion.
Mm. Always happy to see you. I mean, it's a wonderful thing in life. One of the things that I did for you, Chuck, this year without you realizing, actually I started this a few years ago, is I'm on the circuit a lot, you know, speaking and emceeing and that kind of thing.
Sure.
And I've developed some pretty good shtick, you know. And so because Ron Shira is a friend of mine, I've been sliding him some good jokes and one-liners that he can use while he's announcing for you, because I didn't want him to go stale. And I was afraid he was using the same jokes every year. So I just so you know, I tried to give it some life by donating. In essence, I declassified it and I gave it to Ron and said, "Here, use some of these." So if you see people laughing more, or if Ron seems like he has some more bounce in his step, I think it's because I gave him some material that was far overdue.
He needs more material.
I'm not a miracle worker, Chuck, but I do what I can for you for the game fair.
I'm trying
okay?
to help him too.
Well, I tell you what, I hope I see you out there this weekend or next. You're out there for the whole time, right?
Come by.
All right, Chuck, thank you so much. Our sympathies to you.
Well, thank you. You're the best.
I appreciate that. And say hi to Ron for me and tell him I'll have some new ones for him by Monday, okay?
Okay, sounds good. Take care.
There you go, Chuck Delaney. Laura was a fixture out there and known for so many different things. As a dog trainer and beyond, she passed last September, and it was one of those things where you just thought they went hand in hand. You just thought they're going to be there forever. You know, you forget. Life reminds us that everything's temporary, and I think for everybody that was involved in the game fair, that really struck a chord. Even though she was not young, you just get to a point where you don't think that's going to happen. When we come back, what's Tubbsy's favorite season? He'll explain. Stay with us on Sports to the Max. Welcome back, Sports to the Max. Twins and Angels coming up. Sylvia Fowles night. Too for the Lynx, who need to win against Seattle to help secure a playoff spot. Tubbsy, when you know, a day like today, it makes me think of fall, and I don't want the fall to come too soon. You know, I want it in the 80s for a while, but eventually fall comes. I love the fall. fall is my favorite time of the year. It's like New Year's to me is September, really, because that's when we all think back to going to school. And then when your grade changes in school is like the new year, right?
Oh, it's a big deal.
Huge. And then you move into football season. I love football season on Friday nights. Then you move into hunting season. I love hunting season in October and November. I just love the fall. I love everything about it when it gets dry and you know, cool in the best possible sense without being cold, all those things. Well, what's your favorite season?
I'd probably have to say fall.
Yeah?
It used to be spring when I was playing baseball.
Yeah, looking forward to it all year
kind of thing. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, because, I mean, you
can go chuck the old cowhide, yeah?
Yeah, you go inside of the batting cages in January and February. You know, you have them set up in the gymnasium and everything. But, you know, once I got into radio and I started getting into the Friday night late, and there's something about going to a high school football game on a Friday night.
Did you do play-by-play of a lot of them?
Oh, tons of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. All over,
I mean, was this Minnesota, different states, what?
Oh, everywhere. I mean, I've done Prep Bowl, South Dakota, North Dakota.
Now, just take me to South Dakota, North Dakota. Is a Friday night similar to here, or is it different?
It's pretty similar. Pretty much high school football. No matter where you're at, it's pretty much the same. I'm going to exclude Texas because Texas is like cultish and obsessive about their high school football.
Yeah, I've been to high school football in Texas.
It's insane. But no, and I'm going back to my days in Columbia, Missouri, and even in Sioux Falls. These are probably two of the ones that I can kind of compare maybe to the cities. But you've got a lot of schools within, you know, of a very, you know, condensed area. Very dense area, and it's the same. I mean, you've got
a lot of rivalry games.
Yeah. You know, you get there early and you're prepping, and you got the cheerleaders that are coming out, and you got, you know, the grills are starting to get up.
And you hear that band starting to rehearse a little bit. Yeah. Some of that stuff, and they're getting ready to go. Yep.
Yeah, it's, you know, to me, I always enjoyed.
Oh, especially if you're doing the game, right? Because you go set up, and during the setup, you're seeing all these things unveil themselves to you because you're getting the cords hooked in, right?
That's exactly what it is. My benchmark was always two hours before kickoff. You get there.
That's when you want to set up?
Yeah. Yep. You get everything set up. You know, you have your depth charts, you have your rosters, you have your stats. You coordinate with the studio back home. You're like, okay. Yeah. We have our coaches' interviews ready to go. You have everything ready to go. And then you go talk to the coaches and everything, and they're out. I mean, you know what it's like. You're out there, you know, everybody's on the field and they're stretching. You need to go through your pleasantries and, you know, go through. And you know, sometimes coaches, I don't know if you found this, Maxie, too, in this kind of sidebar a little bit. You'll find out that sometimes it's like really weird to get like little itty bitty information. I'm like, all I want to know is how to pronounce this guy's name.
Yeah, football coaches are paramount.
And then it's like, well, I'm not going to tell you if he's – I don't care if he's playing slot. I don't care if he's playing wide. I mean, it doesn't matter. Just tell me, is it a long A or a short A?
They get to a point where they're not sure. It's like they don't trust anybody. They think everybody's, you know, looking for a scouting
team. Yeah.
And they're so competitive.
Yeah. But I love like Friday nights. And then going into Saturdays for college, it was great too because it's like – you work during the week, and then Friday night and Saturday, it didn't even feel like work.
Isn't that fun? Yeah, I mean, you just said it. It's like the week is over, and now I'm going to do something I really enjoy, and I do it for free.
Because you're just...
I'm going to a game, and then I'm going to get home afterwards, I'm going to relax, maybe crack one open, and feel good about myself.
Oh, and you know, Maxie, when you're done, it's like at the end of the night.
Because you feel it.
You're on such an adrenaline. Yep. Oh, absolutely. And it's like all you're doing is sitting... You're watching the game, and you're just talking about it in real time. Yeah, you know, that's why for me, when I listen to things, it drives my wife nuts because I'm like, okay, what's the formation? Where's the ball? What's the time?
Like,
what's
the score? Why didn't they give it to us? You mean our?
Yeah. It's like I you know, because I'll listen and I'm like, okay, I'm not hearing what I should be hearing.
One of the things that's hurt radio broadcasters, it didn't hurt them, but because in TV, you know, many years ago, Fox got. Bought in and got the NFL, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they took them away from the NFC, away from us. I was at CBS, still am obviously, but at the time. And one of the first things Fox did was they said, we're going to put the score up all the time. So as soon as you tune in, you can see the score, right? It didn't used to be that way because the thought was, hey, you know, let's hook them.
Yeah.
You know, they don't need to know a score right now. We'll get it sooner or later, but they got to stay with us. Well, when that happened, we got conditioned to wanting to know the score all the time. And so I think, correct me if I'm wrong, having a lot of radio play-by-play guys, like I hear about guys that have a sand glass or something like that, so every minute they're given the score.
Yeah,
2 minutes
every 90 seconds what I was taught, because people are flipping through. I guess I can say no, but there are a lot of people that are flipping through, especially like on a Friday night. You know, you're driving around. You want to hear, you know, four or five different games. If you don't give them the score within a couple of minutes, then it's like, well, you know what's going on? They might find it someplace else. But yeah, that's what I was told. Every 90 seconds when you're on the radio, down, distance, formation, where's the ball? Second and 10, I formation, ball far hash mark, going from right to left. You know, whatever it is.
Let me ask you this. Why do play-by-play guys say if it's going right to left or left to right? Just to paint a picture or what? Because a lot of say, well, who cares?
That's exactly what it is. Because you know, you talk about the Fox score. When you're doing a game on radio before everybody, you know, was able to stream, you're painting the picture. And you want to, you know, that's why you hear people, it's like, hey, you know, they're wearing the blue tops with the white bottoms and, you know, black shoes or whatever, you know, this striped on the side. That's why you always want to give them as many visuals as you can, so that way in their mind they know exactly what you're seeing.
And that's just the theory of broadcasting radio.
Yeah, and that's just something that I learned. You know, that's something
Corey
that I learned.
Always does that out of the gate. You know, they're wearing their white uniforms with the gold trim and the blue. You know, whatever it is.
Yeah, because
you don't really realize what he's doing, but that's what he's doing.
Yeah, and he's
painting it in your mind. Now you can watch the rest of the game.
Absolutely,
the rest of the game.
Yeah, and it's just something that you do. You know, if the weather conditions or something, you like to give them as much information as you can, so they can see the exact same thing that you're seeing. You know. A man goes in motion, or, you know, you got to shift with a full, you know, and maybe I'm getting a little, you know, too inside baseball here, but, you know, every little thing that you see, I try and relay it in as much real time as you can. Because sometimes you can't get everything in, but you got to pick and choose. Because, I mean, you might have, you've got the play that will happen. And then normally the analyst, for me, the analyst will take it, the color guy will take it from the minute that the play's over till the time that they break the huddle.
Yeah, so in other words, Chris Tubbs says, slot I, 30, there's the power pitch to the right. He gets out, he gets the corner. No, he is stopped by Johnson for a 3-yard gain. And then you just shut up and let the guy finish.
Yeah, absolutely, because then they go through it, and then they go back to the huddle. All right, you know, second down and 7 from the 35-yard line, ball on the far hash mark, trips to the right, single, you know, blah, 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 wide left, whatever.
Isn't one of the hardest things for the color guy is when you try to tell a story?
Yeah, and that's why I feel like so many broadcasters nowadays, they try and make themselves the show. They try and make themselves the broadcast. Whereas you're telling them that what's happening, you know, you're explaining, but the other person is the one that's explaining why it's happening.
Right.
You know, I mean,
but it has to be concise, and you have to lend yourself. Yeah. If you have a good anecdote or a good, you know, tidbit, you got to really know when to insert that.
Absolutely. You always have to be listening.
You don't want to let it just fizzle out if it's a good, you know. But you know, I'll give you an example. The other day, I'm driving around, and it was the play at the plate, you know, where Rocco, you know.
Oh, yeah. And Maryfield Sanchez, yep.
And Chris are doing it. And it was almost, it was like it was more fun to not see the play. You know what I mean?
Because you can listen in your mind.
And then your brain is trying to figure this out. What does he mean they didn't give him a lane? And you're trying to picture it, but you're not quite sure.
Yes.
And they're not quite sure if the play is going to be overturned. And they're talking about it. And you're not, but you're right there with them. Every word.
You get enough banter with them that they're trying to play. They're trying to figure it out in real time. And it's not a shtick. It's not a gimmick. Mm. It's not somebody trying to be, oh, super radio man.
But
it's
almost better than watching the replays on TV, where you just are so drawn to the visual and coming up with your own opinion. Mm-hmm. You're listening to them process it and go, well, the rule says, because I don't know what the rule was on that at the time, you know, when they were talking about it. So I'm listening to them as they kind of go through, well, you know, I think because the rule says, and you're right there with them. It's really a The radio play-by-play, the radio game.
It is hard.
It's hard.
But
it really can hook you.
It can.
There's something that is so unique about it.
You got to be able to use your words to tell that story. If you can't tell the story, you're not going to be able to convey everything.
Tell the story. I mean, but tell the story so that I can understand it.
Yeah, you've got to make it easily digestible because you can talk in your terms, but you need to talk to your audience.
The piece of it is in baseball, and I know we're up against the clock a little bit here. I'll bring this up again after our next guest.
Sure.
There's another thing about baseball that's different than other sports, and we'll talk about that on the other side. When we come back, high school football starts Monday. We'll be visiting with the defending state champion head coach. Stay with us on Sports to the Max. Welcome back. It all starts on Sunday, ends at Monday. Fasten the chin straps, put the mouth guards in. High school football is back. Ben Burke, head coach of Lakeville South, the defending state champions. And, Ben, I got to tell you, Coach, today had to make you feel like football, didn't it?
Yeah, a little rain, a little cold weather. Bust out a few sweatshirts. It felt good.
Now, for people that a lot of people pay attention to high school football, they don't pay attention to all the intricacies. One of the things that's changed over the years are summer practices. And so when you get to quote-unquote training camp on Monday, you have had, at your discretion or depending on the participation rate, a lot of time with your kids in the summer. Explain what you can do in the summer months and what that does for a program.
Yeah, so, you know, the State High School League lets us have 11 football practices with our kids. So, you know, every program does a little bit different. I think we've experimented with things over the last few years, but I think we've nailed down July is a good time for that. We try to give them some time off in June, and we really hit the weight room hard the whole summer, but we'll do 11 football practices, and they vary from 7-on-7 type activities to, you know, install of our schemes, and we'll put on shoulder pads and helmets and run around a little bit, and it gets hot, but it's fun, and I think our kids enjoy it.
So if you play in a 7-on-7 league, does that constitute a practice or not? Or is it dependent if you're coaching it or not?
If you're playing other teams, it does not count as a practice. So, you know, we do some, not a ton, but obviously with the amount of passing we do, we don't feel like 7-on-7 is the best thing for us always. It's good for our defense.
Maybe for your D-backs, right? Because you may go against a team like that, but for you, you don't need that.
Yeah, but it's good to evaluate. The one thing that I learned back when Larry Thompson was the head coach here, it's a lot of fun. And so if you set it up right and you can teach the kids a little bit, it's good for them and fun. And it's good for us to evaluate athleticism too and kind of see what the rest of the state has in terms of athletes. It helps us get ready for the fall.
You know, last year you won the state championship, of course, and 2 years ago you would have made a bid, but COVID got in the way and they only played through the section championships. What were the last 2 years like to go through COVID and then to have it lifted last year? How did that feel for a program like yours that was on the cusp of maybe winning two?
You're a lot more thankful, I think, when you get to actually play games and do things like what football looks like football. During that COVID time, there was a lot of ways that you had to practice that really didn't make you feel good about how football was. You know, we didn't feel like we were playing football all the time. So then last year, coming back and having pretty much a regular season really, I think, made us as coaches and families and our kids especially be thankful that they get to do something that cool.
And that's true. I mean, people don't realize that Ben Burke, our guest from Lakeville South, but one of the things that emerged from that is not just being able to participate, but the value of having fans in the stands and the band in the stands as well, isn't it?
Yeah, especially in a community like ours, we're just so fortunate to have a town that really loves football and loves high school football, especially, and the pageantry that kind of goes along with it. And even like our school band is fantastic. They were a state championship band in the way that they compete with their stadium performance. And to be able to kind of wrap all those things together on a Friday night is really special. And when you don't have it, you realize that just how special it is. And so we relished every moment last year, that's for sure.
So when you have summer access to them and you had an extended season like last season, do you basically get to Monday and you can almost do install right away? I mean, you don't have to wait as long because they're so familiar with the system?
Absolutely. You know, that's when we got to even bring up sophomores along for that long playoff run. You get to evaluate the kids that are going to be juniors the next year, and there's just a lot more familiarity. And I think that's kind of the spoils of being a good program, is you get extra time to practice and you just have that much more continuity. So starting this summer, we felt really good, and I try to pump the brakes on our install plans, but the kids just ate it up, and so we're ready to go this fall to kind of, we'll repeat some of the same things, but maybe get into some things that we haven't, especially on the defensive side.
What does a good weight room mean to you? Because it's not just about having the plates there, because lots of people can lift it. But what is the culture of a weight room have to be to get the most out of it?
I learned from Scott Solly, who's probably the best. People that know the weight room know that he's the best, and just the discipline that comes along with being that kind of weight room program, and the commitment level and the understanding of the kids that what is hard work, right? We talk to them about that a lot. Like every team's lifting weights in the summer. Every team's doing summer practice. Like, what's going to separate you? And just the volume and intensity of the work that we do, and the brains that go into it. Coach Solly's great at the programming, and there's a reason for everything we do. We're not just going in there and spending 45 minutes doing whatever. Like, there's a pretty well thought out plan, and it's purposeful, and the proof's kind of in the pudding for us. We've had dozens of guys squatting over 400 pounds the last couple of years, and that's kind of the measure that Coach Solly uses, that he's taught me, is if you have those guys, you're going to win a lot of football games. And so we work really hard, and it's just a staple. We're gonna sacrifice other things to be in there, right? And if it's practice time, or if it's a 7-on-7 competition that's during our weight room time, we're not going to do it. And that's just kind of been our mindset, and our kids have really bought into that.
And isn't that the great opportunity for the kid that maybe is undersized, is that weight room sits there and just waits for you, and you can make up for a lot if you're willing to commit?
Absolutely. We haven't had the biggest team by far in the state the last couple of years, but we've had, I would say, the strongest team across the board. And, every team's going to have their studs, their stars. We've got Carson. We've had, the Chase Androffs and the Riley Malmans. But I think what has separated us last couple of years is the guys that aren't those guys being better than the other team's guys that are like that. There's 22 guys on the football field at one time, and so you can have your list of stars, but you got to have some other guys too. And so for guys that maybe aren't 6 feet five, or that aren't doing all the measurables, it's getting them D1 recruitment, and they still have goals, and if they work really hard in the weight room, that's where it's going to pay off, is what we tell them.
I talked to a Hall of Fame coach one day, high school coach, and I said, tell me the key to build the program. He says, the studs are the studs. He says, you can't stop them. They're going to be great. He said, if you can take the average and make them above average, that's where you win.
Yeah, absolutely. The way that we kind of say it is, there's, in any organization, sports, high school football, it doesn't matter, there's 10% of elite, workers or whatever, and then there's 80% that are kind of right in the middle. And if you want to be truly a great team, that 80% needs to be 70, and the top 10 people need to pull up another 10% to be elite. And so that's a message we've preached, and we've had that success for sure.
Yeah, it sounds easy, but man, you got to get commitment. Hey, Coach, thank you so much. Who do you open with?
Park Cottage Grove.
On Thursday night?
Yep.
All right. Well, it'll be fun, and I know you guys are loaded again, but thank you so much for giving us some time, and have a great time on Monday morning. Christmas to you.
Yeah, appreciate it, and appreciate your listeners taking a look at Cougar football.
You got it. Ben Burke, nice enough to join us, head coach at Lakeville South, back to defend their state title. When we come back, Tubbsy and I will pick up what we were talking about before, about baseball and how the tempo is different and how it feels different, all those things, the broadcast booth. And how you can make it special, and probably how these guys that we've got here make it special. All that and more as we take you up to Twins baseball, the Twins and Angels, right here on WCCO. Welcome back, Sports to the Max. Tubbsy, when we last speaking here at the, earlier this hour, we were talking about the tempo of different sports that you broadcast, et cetera. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I love about baseball is there's a conversational aspect to it because of the between pitches and everything. The thing that drives me nuts is when somebody's telling a great story, and then sure enough, somebody hits into a double play to end the inning. And you wanted to hear the end of the story, right? Because you're hooked, right?
Oh, yeah.
And you're going, God dang it. It happens a lot, it seems like, you know? There is no perfect way to do that, I understand. But that's part of the art, isn't it? That's more art than science.
It is. And that's what makes baseball so hard, because out of all of the sports that are out there, Mike, number one, I think baseball lends itself to the history of the game and statistics more than anything else. And I'm not talking about like the exit velocity stuff and like the new sabermetrics. I'm talking about like reliving the history. You know, I think baseball really embraces it more, which allows you to tell more stories, and there is more downtime.
I can't believe how many stories Dan Gladden can tell. He's got to be out of them, and he's got another one. You know, yeah, I mean, good stories. You know,
and it comes off so natural. Like that's the thing, you can tell when people are sitting there and they're trying to force a story that doesn't fit with
the really good ones have so many stories that whatever situation comes up, they've got one that's relatable.
Who is the
best color man you ever worked with?
I work with Al Hrabowski.
Where at?
In St. Louis.
Yeah.
And
the Mad Hungarian.
He was a hoot. He was probably the favorite guy, my favorite guy.
Did you know the game well?
A little bit.
How was he articulating it?
Oh, he was very animated, but he was a storyteller, but he was very excitable. You know, very just, it's kind of hard. I can't do the voice. But he was just, you didn't even need to really set him up, because you could say like one word and he'd know where you were going to go.
Well, what's interesting is, you know, and somebody made this point. They said, you know, like Tom Brady signed with Fox, right, for when he's done for millions and millions of dollars.
Yeah.
And they go, the one thing nobody's ever figured out is he going to be good at it? They don't give training to the people that should, you know. Now, some do it on their own. Jim Cott trained himself to an extent. Troy Aikman seems fairly natural at it. You know, and Terry Bradshaw, you know, what he does is an extension of his personality. Mm-hmm. John Madden, it came easy to, because it was just like.
Well, and I think so there are new, like, broadcasting schools that are out there now for.
There are, but I'm just saying.
Players.
They'll sign the big name before they know if he can broadcast.
Yeah, and
I would think that Peyton Manning would be a slam dunk, but we don't know that. Maybe not. Maybe he'd struggle with the 30 seconds, you know?
And I think he does, you know, they're doing the Manning cast that they do. And I think for them, that's good.
Because that's the real inside baseball.
Absolutely. Yep. It's Eli and it's Peyton, and they're being brothers, and they're giving you a combination of football and just them. And I feel like there are times, Maxie, where people feel like they've got to be really... You have to be careful about what you say, because your words matter. But at the same time, you can't be afraid to show your personality, because there are some people that have great personalities that just they open up a microphone or they get in front of a camera and they freeze up.
Let me just tell you something. After covering the Twins, and I covered them for 30 some years now, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you were to say to me, based on who I covered, who would end up in the broadcast booth? OK.
Yeah.
It would not be Dan Gladden. It would not be Jack Morris, probably not Tim Laudner. And I'm saying this because they almost seem like they want nothing to do with that. Not that they couldn't do it.
It doesn't interest them.
They seem like they would just have no interest in that based on when you covered them, you know?
Yeah.
And then you can flip it around, and I won't name names, but there are others that you say, that's a slam dunk, and it's not.
Yeah.
You know?
I think there's a difference between being able to just be yourself and talk kind of in a non-formal, but when you're asked, hey, we want you to present this in a way that you're going to be a broadcaster, like you have to do this in a professional setting, sometimes people just can't handle it. And it doesn't make them like bad.
And it doesn't mean they don't know the game.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's one misnomer that, sometimes it's like, oh, well, you can't do it. No, they could do it. It's just not where they're best suited. And that's fine. It doesn't reflect on them in any way, shape or form.
No. And I was surprised when Dan got in the booth that he wanted to do it. And that was 24. I remember it because we were sitting here when I first started 24 years ago that I started doing this show. Mm-hmm. And when I came in to do this show, there was the same changing of the guard on the play-by-play, I think because Herbert decided to just do home games or something like that.
Oh, okay,
and so they need a color guy, and I thought, Dan Gladden really wants to do this? And he's very good at it, but I didn't have any idea that he had an interest in it. You know, he was scouting at the time, you know, and here you go 24 years later, and of course he's been with Herb and Gordo and
Corey. And he's great at it. I mean, we're lucky to have Danny Gladden on this station.
Yeah, he's a good storyteller, has a good voice, all those things.
Absolutely.
You know? But you never know. We'll hear more of him coming up next. Twins and Angels from California on WCCO.